I'm Ruben Barbosa. For those of you who haven't met me yet, I'm the Spanish pastor here at Fellowship. We have a service on Saturday nights, 6 o'clock. And so for about the last year, a little bit more than a year, I've been preaching on marriage. And so if you looked at your handout today, it talks about marriage. And I want you to know that even though we've been preaching on marriage for the last year, the reason we do that is all about our relationship with Christ and how marriage reflects that relationship. And so even though the message is about marriage, it's really in the end about our relationship with Christ and how we can restore that and renew that relationship. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. I'm going to start this afternoon. We're actually going out of town, me and my family. We're leaving. We're going to go to Galveston. I have a work conference. We're going to spend the week there. And that's not the message. But yesterday, as we were getting ready for breakfast, around 10, so it's not quite breakfast, but my wife says, well, you know, there's a lot of food in the fridge, and it's all got to go because we're going to be out of town for a while, and I don't want it to all expire. And I was like, well, I don't really care if it expires. I'll still eat those hot dogs that are in there. That really doesn't bother me. But I kind of went along with it. And so basically it was, well, here's what we have in the fridge, and we need to make sure it's all gone today so that it doesn't get ruined. So there was eggs, and there was hot dogs, and there was tortillas. And I don't know why we keep tortillas in the fridge, but we do. And there was bread, and there was milk, and there was other things in there. And so I went along with it. We started bringing everything out and started planning what we were going to eat. So what we ended up having was hot dog tacos with tortillas. Those are great, with egg. And then for dessert, we had French toast, also with egg, because we had to get rid of that last bit of egg. And so we had French toast for dessert, and it was great. You put enough syrup on it, and it is dessert. But we purged the fridge. And so Our cholesterol is probably not great today, but my wife's coolness factor is certainly up high. She's definitely raised in stock. The point is, sometimes when you hear your spouse say something, you think, well, that's just crazy. Maybe go along with it. It was awesome yesterday. I ate great. I had a wonderful brunch. I was good the rest of the day, and I don't think I've eaten that well in quite some time. But hear out your spouse. You have a relationship with them. And so that's what today's message is all about, is about our spouse. And if you're not there yet, for some of you who are not there, this message is for you as well, to remember that when you get there in life, this is what to look forward to. And in the end, it's all about our relationship with Christ. It's all about our relationship with God. And our human relationships many times reflect what happens in our relationship with God. So let's start with John 21:15. John 21:15. For those of you who heard me preach here back in March, you say, well, that's where you started back in March. And I can assure you that this is not the same message. I changed the ending. No, a few more things. But in 21:15, it says, when they had finished breakfast... I was going to make fun of John's glasses, but then I realized I can't see very well myself, so I probably shouldn't do that. So I'm going to hold it out to here. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. We'll stop there. You know what that is? That was Peter and Christ in their vows. That was Peter vowing to Christ to be his servant, just like in a marriage, just as you had your vows when you were married. These are Peter's vows to Christ. I love you, and I will feed your sheep. I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you over and over again, and I will serve you, and I will feed your sheep, and I will tend them. That was his vow to Christ. Much like our vows to our spouses. In 18, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you'll stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. So how many of us, when we first heard the gospel message and we first heard that we could follow Jesus and be his, did somebody then come along and say, oh, and by the way, you're going to die to glorify God. Your death will be a signal of glory to your Lord and Savior through your service to him. We really didn't get that message, right? We'd really, when you were called up or whoever talked to you about Jesus that very first time, they really didn't come across saying, well, by the way, your death may glorify God. And that's actually what he wants. Not just your death. He wants your life to glorify him. He wants every bit of you to glorify him. And that's what he's looking for. So when you hear this now, you know, I've known Christ for almost 40 years now. Today, I would say, yes, oh, Lord, please, let my life glorify you. Let my death glorify you. Let my every waking moment glorify you. But when I was young, that probably wasn't where I was thinking. When we first accepted him, that probably wasn't the deal that we thought we were making, right? But it is what God is looking for. He's looking for our life to glorify him because he is great. And he is awesome. So I want to talk to you about relationships. Like I said, I've been preaching about marriage for a while, and I'm going to tell you that when I first met my wife, it was, we just passed 20 years in April, and when I first met my wife, it was in July of 1995, and I so wanted to impress her. I fell in love with her immediately. I knew that she was the one that God had sent me, the gift from God. And so I went all out. I would get off of work, and I would go home and get freshened up and get dressed up, and I would put on my fancy boots. Today, I wear boots that are more for comfort. They have padded insides, and they're kind of nice on the sole, and they're square, so they don't crunch my feet. But back then, I wore nice lizard skin boots. They were quite tall. I wore these Wrangler, very cowboy, right? Nice tight Wrangler jeans with the lines from the laundromat, and my shirts were all starched where I'd walk around like this for a while, and they had the line that you had to kind of break through, and I wore a big hat. It was at least 10 gallons or something less than that, and I had the big giant belt buckle, and I would drive up in my big truck, and I had a ranch, and I had land, and I had the whole thing. I was the whole package in my mind. And I knew that she would fall in love with me immediately. I knew that she just loved me quickly. And I also knew that within the first week that I met her, this is true, I knew I was going to marry her. I knew that God had given her to me, that she was the one. And in the second week, I actually told her so, which freaked her out. Still worked out. But I would go and I would pick her up. I couldn't wait to spend time with her. From the moment I met her, I couldn't wait to spend time with her. And I would drive to her house. I would get off work, and as quick as I could get to her house. And I would already be calling her that I was close by. And I would get out of my truck, and I would start coming around. And before I could actually make it to the other side of the truck, she would come out running. Not just walking swiftly, but running. Not mall walking, not anything else. Running, and she would run all the way to my truck. So by the time I got around to the passenger side, she was already there. All I had to do was open the door, let her in. In my mind, I thought, well, you know what? She just can't waste a minute of time by walking. She wants to spend every waking moment with me. That was what I thought. And she let me think that for years. For a long time, that's the way it was. When we were dating, she would just run to the truck. Years after we were married, she told me, well, the truth of it is that I was kind of embarrassed by, you know, the home and whatever else was going on. And so that you wouldn't see all that, I would run to your truck. But at least she let me think it was me for a long time. But in the end, I always, well, when we were first dating, I just wanted to spend time with her. I wanted to do everything with her. I wanted to be there with her. I wanted to show her all new experiences. There were things that she hadn't done. She hadn't eaten seafood, so we drove all the way to the island just to go and have a nice big platter of seafood. And this was one of our first dates, and it was just full of all kinds of stuff because she didn't know what she liked. She had never tried any of it, so I just got her something that had everything. And I ate most of it because it was a lot of food. But that was the way it was. When I first met her, I just wanted to do for her. I just wanted to serve her, and I just wanted to please her, and I just wanted to make her happy. I wanted her to love me. And so that went on for quite some time. We actually dated for a while. And within a year, in less than a year, that was July, we were married by April the following year. Because I just didn't want to spend any more time without her. That's how much she meant. So I didn't ask for this time today to come and talk to y'all about how great a boyfriend I was. I really wanted to talk to you about how our relationship with God many times mirrors our relationship with our spouse. Do you remember how much time you spent with your future spouse, or how much time, if you're not married yet, how much time you spend with somebody who's significant to you? You can imagine if you're not there yet, but you want to spend so much time. Well, how much time do you remember spending with them early on, and how much you wanted to please them, and how much you wanted to just be with them? Has that changed? Now remember the first time you met Christ, the first time somebody introduced you to Christ, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, and how much you wanted to spend time with Him. You wanted to be in His Word, study His Word. You wanted to be praying. You wanted to be on your knees praying, not just here at church, but you were in your home praying. And you wanted to study Him, and you wanted to learn more about Him, and you wanted to be so close to Him because you found out that the King of the universe loved you. And once you found that out, you just wanted to be with Him. You just wanted to be there with Him and spend every waking moment knowing more about Him. And then things changed, right? After years of marriage, we moved away. We used to live in Weslaco, down in South Texas. And then we moved up here to I worked for the Attorney General's office, so I moved to the headquarters. And so started spending a lot of nights working, started working weekends, traveling a lot, doing all kinds of things, taking time away from my family. I was working a lot of hours. And so in that time, I know that I was not that same husband that I was when we were first married. When we were first married, we spent lots of time together. It was just the two of us. But over time, things changed in our relationship. There was a difference. I was spending a lot of time at work, and she noticed it. She would tell me. And over time, other things changed. I would work too much. I became very serious. You know, some of you know me now, that I'm not a very serious person. I take God seriously, but I don't take myself seriously. But she found that I wasn't as funny or as joking over time, right? Because our relationship has started to change, because I got busy. I got busy, and I started focusing on work, and I started making other things in my life more important than my wife. My wife, who was given to me by God. And she was given to me by God in a time in my life when I truly needed her. So that's how I know it was from Him. Over time, if you're in that stage in your marriage, or if you've passed it, or if you're headed that way, you might be asking yourself, well, or telling yourself, or you might be telling them, well, you know, you're not the person I married. You're not that same person that I knew 20 years ago. You're not that same person that I knew 5 years ago or even a year ago. You've changed. I can tell you this, that I am so glad that I'm not that man that I was 21 years ago. I'm glad that I'm not that selfish man, that Christ has been working in me. And so it's a good thing that I'm not that same person. Over time, we lose a lot of the energy. When we were young, we used to take drives. We'd drive to the island. We didn't do that very often. I don't know why. We were so close. But we would do that. Or once we went to SeaWorld. We lived in the valley, so it was a long drive. It was 4.5 hours. And because we were still dating, her parents required her to have what would you call it? Well, another couple had to be with us. Chaperone, there you go. Words. A chaperone had to be with us. So we took my uncle and his wife with us as we drove. And that wasn't, you know, fantastic to go on a date and go to SeaWorld with your uncle and your aunt. But luckily, we were able to drop them off at a family's friend's nearby, and we went by ourselves. But then we had to be home that same night. So I had a curfew still. It was a curfew. I had to have her home by a certain time every night. And so we left early in the morning, spent as much time as we could at SeaWorld, drove back, picked up my uncle, and headed back home before her time was due, you know, before the clock ticked 12 or whatever it was. I don't know. But I don't have that same energy. Neither of us do. Now a date for us is going to McDonald's and getting fancy coffee. You know, they have this caramel mocha, not to sell McDonald's, but their caramel mocha coffee is wonderful. And so having that and a little piece of pie and going home and watching TV is a great date to me. And to her. She asked for it. Excuse me. But sometimes we long for the days when we were young, and we long for the days when we were exciting and we were romantic and we were whatever we were. We long for those days. What about in your relationship with God? There's a difference, right? 20 years in, your relationship with God, for those of you who have known Christ for that long, or if you've only known Christ for a few years, there's a difference from that first moment you met him to the time you know him now. And sometimes it's a drastic difference. When I was thinking of this, I remembered about 5 years ago, I needed to send a package. And so I called UPS, and I knew the size of the box, I knew how much it weighed, so I called them to find out how much it was going to cost. And I called and I said, I want to know how much it's going to cost, I need to send it to this place. And they said, well, do you want it to go air or ground? And I said, well, what's the difference? And she responded with, well, one goes on an airplane, and the other goes by truck. And you can imagine I was pretty upset at hearing that, but there was a difference. That was a drastic difference, right? And so although I was upset for a moment, now it's funny, but sometimes that's the difference in our relationship from when we were first knew each other, from when we first knew God, to today. At some point, we were on an airplane. Now we're kind of in a truck, or maybe a van, or maybe an Uber. I don't know what we're in, but sometimes that's a big difference, right? And we're no longer on that airplane that we were on when we were first married. So what about our relationship with God? If we're in this period of our life, in our relationship with God, what else have we put in front of our relationship with him? What else have we put in our time that we spend with him? Has our life gotten too busy? Has our children gotten in the way? Not in the way, but have their time taking up our relationship with God? We'll edit that piece out. But has other things in our life become more important? Not so much in our forethought, but in the back of our mind. Have other things become more important than God? Have we started making excuses for why we no longer open the Bible? Why our Bible, when we open it now, dust flies? Why, when we go into our closet and we look for that place where we used to pray, where the carpet's no longer pressed down, right? Why do we not have that same vigor that we had when we first met him? Well, it's the same thing with all of our human relationships, because we are human. And so we have to fight that. We have to fight those tendencies. This is not a relationship. The relationship we have with God should not be like all those other relationships that we let go astray. Has God lost something in our eyes? When you first met him, he was the king of the universe. He was the king of Israel. He was the savior. He was the one who gave you everything, who went to a cross and died for you. And your value in this life is not based upon anybody else's opinion but his, who was worthy of dying for you, and you were worthy of him dying. That is the one who you first met. That is the king. And I say this to some people and they get confused. I say that don't let even church become a distraction to your relationship with God. We say, wait a minute, that is God. No, no, no. Church is not God. This is where we serve each other. God and your relationship with God is something you do in your heart and in your mind, and talking to God and hearing from God and learning about God is something that you do, and it's a personal relationship with God. Here is where we strengthen you. We give you, it's more like a pep rally to get you out and ready to go this week so you can go and spend time with God and go spend time serving your neighbor. But your time with God is not exactly the same thing as your time in church, right? We do this to serve each other, but you still need a relationship with God. God's looking for what's in your heart. So certainly when we were first married, I was much more romantic and carefree. But then you start asking yourself, okay, I can focus on what I'm not or what my spouse is not, but then maybe I should start focusing on, well, what are they? Are they a good father? Are they a good mother? I know my wife is a good mother. She's raised a wonderful young man in my son. I know that. People always say how good he is and how nice he is, and they say, well done. And I say, no, I don't think it was so much me. I think it was more her, because she spends a lot of time with him. I don't. So you start asking all these questions to try and strengthen what you have. Well, are they a provider? Do they keep the house? Do they take care of your children? And you start trying to focus on, well, what is it that they do well? Instead of focusing always on what is it that they don't do well. When you were first married, you enjoyed your honeymoon. The whole honeymoon period, the first year of our marriage, although there were some rough spots, for the most part, it was pretty good. It wasn't perfect. Nothing ever is. But now you're in the season that really matters. If you've been married for quite some time, if you've known God for quite some time, now you're in the season that really matters. Because this is the time when most people start to fall back, start to slide away, start to put other things in front of God. Have you gone through seasons with your spouse? Are you going through those same type of seasons with God? What season are you in your relationship with God? Are you still in that season where Peter was, where when he was asked if he loved God and he was told to feed his sheep? Are you still in that season where, you know what, I'm going to wake up today, I love God, and I'm going to go out and feed his sheep. I'm going to go tend them. I'm going to do what I can to serve him. Are you in that season? Sometimes we have to remind ourselves and restore ourselves and renew our relationship with God to get back there. But this is true with most of our human relationships. I can tell you that I have friends from high school. They were friends then, and I haven't seen them in 20 years or more. There's reunions. I don't really have a desire. I don't have a lot of those human relationships. I remember being on the schoolyard, and somebody new come or somebody different come, and you're on the schoolyard, and you say, you know what? That's a cool kid. I'm going to hang out with him, and we're going to be friends. And after a few weeks, you know, he's not that cool. And maybe I can find a better friend. And so a lot of our human relationships don't last. But our God relationship will last forever. Do you remember, or maybe have kids or remember when you were young and you really wanted a toy, and you really wanted something really bad, and you asked for it, and you asked for it, and you begged for it, and you pleaded for it? You remember those times? I had that. I remember one in particular. It was a Stretch Armstrong. Anybody remember Stretch Armstrong? Well, Stretch Armstrong on TV was amazing. And I actually, after weeks and weeks of begging and pleading for this Stretch Armstrong, there were times when my mother would see me and know that I was going to start asking for it. And I could tell that she just wanted to turn around and see if she could avoid me. And it didn't really work because I was pretty fast. But I finally got my Stretch Armstrong. I ended up getting his villain friend as well. It was green. I don't remember his name. I just remember Stretch. And so you see it on the commercial, you stretch them and you stretch them, and then they come back, they get all stretched out, and then they start coming back, and then they form each other again. And then you stretch them again. Well, after a few weeks, you think, well, what's fun about that? That's not that fun at all. And ended up being that these things ended up in the closet full of other things that were the most amazing thing when I saw them on television, and they ended up just being in the closet. So a year later, we're still in this house, and we're getting ready to move, and Stretch Armstrong has been in the closet for I don't know how many months, And we go in, and what we found when we were unloading everything from my closet is that he had a little tear in his arm. And so what was inside of him was this gooey, jelly, I don't know what. When it was inside of him, it was very soft and pliable. When it came out, it became cement. And so he poured out all of what was good in Stretch Armstrong all over my closet, and it was a puddle about this big, except it wasn't a puddle anymore. It was cement. And so there was a very flat Stretch Armstrong with a plastic head and a flat body and a big puddle of cement attached to all the tile in the closet. And so when we were trying to get our deposit back from renting this house, that became an issue. And my father was not too pleased with how my closet appeared, and so we ended up having to do some tile work before we could leave. But that's kind of how our human relationships tend to be. At the beginning, we're so excited about them, we just can't wait to spend time. And then over time, we get a little tired. But we can't allow that to also be our relationship with God. You get so excited at the beginning with God, and you're out joining every life group, and you're out joining every other activity that there is, and then you end up getting burned out on some of those things, and you end up starting to feel, well, you know what? This wasn't as great as I originally thought. But our relationship with God should never get there. So, remember Jesus and his example of loving selflessly. And remember that when we were first married, it seemed like selfless love. But I could tell you that in my heart, it was mostly selfish love. And it was doing for my spouse for what was in it for me. That's the way it was. And only through Christ do we learn true love. Only through Christ do we learn selfless love. And it takes time to learn this. When we were first married, my wife would meet me at the door. I would come home. She was a homemaker. She would be there and would welcome me at the door, hug, kiss, the whole bit. Now, 20 years later, sometimes I come home and I don't even know if anybody's home. And I start calling and say, hey, is anybody here? And then they arrive. But it's okay. Those are the differences that happen over time, right? I don't really need that person to welcome me and receive me at the door. What I need is a loving wife who I cherish and who I share joy with and who I share my life with and who I want to spend the rest of what God has given me with serving him. So what stage are you at with your spouse or with your significant other? There's a real danger if we focus on the negative things. If I focused on her not receiving me at the door, if I focused on whatever else it may be, if I focused on those things, well, then those things can kind of control your mind. And then you can start having this idea, well, you know what? I'm not very satisfied. I just realized that. But it's because I'm focusing on the negative, I'm focusing on what's lacking, and I'm forgetting all this wonderful stuff. My wife is a great mother. My wife is a blessing to me. My wife restored my life at the time when I needed it the most. She was there for me. So left unchecked, this feeling of dissatisfaction can harbor. And it can even happen in your relationship with Christ. If you don't feel that Christ is doing everything that you thought you signed up for, well, you can start focusing on those things. Well, God didn't get me that job, and he didn't get me that house. Well, I don't remember signing up for a house and a job when I accepted my relationship with Christ. I do remember eternal salvation. I do remember living with him forever. That was the deal. And so we focus on what's good and what is awesome about our God. And we should celebrate the change in our own lives. Celebrate those things that are different. Let's go to Nehemiah. Nehemiah 8:10. Probably started thinking, was he ever going to get him a verse? A little scripture in this? Yes. Nehemiah 8:10. And it says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Say that to yourself over and over again. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So if the joy of the Lord is my strength, that means that my God is joyful. My God has joy because he wants to be my strength. He wants to be there for me. So that means he is full of joy. My God is full of joy. And you know what? Through his Holy Spirit, he gives me joy. He provides me joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit, right? Peace, love, joy, patience. I know the rest of them in Spanish, mansedumbre. I don't know the rest of them in English. But joy. And so if God gave you joy, then it comes from God. And if you're allowing somebody in your life to take your joy, then that's kind of your fault. God gave you this gift of joy. And if your relationship with your spouse, or your relationships at work, or your relationships wherever they be, rob you of your joy, well, they can't. They can't rob you of your joy. You have to give it voluntarily because it was something that God put in you. God put it in you, and the only way it can come out of you is if you allow it. It's your fault. The joy of the Lord is in you, and it gives you strength. And my joy gives my wife strength, and her joy gives me strength. But it all starts with God and his gift of joy. So let's focus on what is good. Let's go to Philippians 4:8. In Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Well, it doesn't tell me to think about how I'm treated poorly or how I have not been received at the door, or how my dinner came out, or that there was no dinner. It doesn't tell me to do any of those things, to be thinking about those things. It tells me to think about those things that are excellent, to think about those things that are lovely. My wife is lovely. I think about that. Those tells me to think about those things that are pure and commendable and just and honorable. That's the things that I should be focusing on in my life, the things that are good. That's where I can keep the joy in my life that God gave me, by focusing on those things that are good, those things that are true and honorable, excellent. Focus on the excellent. I try and do that. You know, a lot of times we end up thinking about self more in your time. You think about yourself and you think, woe is me, and why didn't this happen for me? But if I focus on those things that are good, then I can see wonderful things in everybody. I can see wonderful things in my wife. I can see wonderful things in my son. I can see wonderful things out of my neighbors. If I focus on those things that are good and honorable and excellent, and then you know what? I'm a lot happier. You would be too. So search for them. If you're sitting there with your spouse and you look next to you, you don't have to do it right now, don't make it obvious. But if you look at them and you think, well, what could I focus on? What could I be thinking about that's good and excellent and lovely? And if you're struggling, remember this. Your spouse was the gift from God. And so do you really want to go back to God and say, God, I know this is the gift from you, but I can't find good in it? Well, that's not what you want to do, right? There is good. But if you need help, go to God and tell God, God, I need your help. I need you to remind me why this is the person you sent me. I need you to remind me why this is the relationship that you found that was important in my life. Why, God, did you put me here? And if you can do that, well, God will show you. He will show you all the wonderful things that you don't think about. All the wonderful things that if you get past self, that you can see. If you get past self, you could see great things. Let's go to James. I think we still have time. James 4, 2 through 3. says, you desire and do not have, so you murder. No, that's a weird. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Sounds like self there, right? Sounds like selfishness. You do not receive that which is good. You do not understand that which is good because you're focusing on self. Go to God and ask him for those things that are from God. Go ask him for those things that are good. Ask him for those things that are worthy. And when you next time you look at your spouse, tell God, help me to see what you see in her or him. And then when you're doing that, ask God to also help you. God, help me in my relationship with you to focus on those things that are good, to focus on those things that are honorable, and those things that are true. If you need any more to focus on other than eternal life and salvation, that's fine, but go to God and ask him. Because he knows what's good. He knows what's lovely and excellent. Or in our words, awesome. He knows those things. So when you say, you're not the person I married, that's a great thing. I'm glad that I'm not the person I was when I married her. Because I was not a good person. I was not a giving person. I was a very selfish and arrogant person. So if she were to ever tell me, you're not the man I married, she has, I don't think she's ever said that. But if she were ever to say it, I would say, well, thank God. Thank God that I'm not. And thank God that he's changed me and that he's still working on me and that we're going to reach some place of completion through Christ. So we're on the path to being Christ-like, right? That's the goal, to be more Christ-like. I know I said that weird, Christ-like. That's our goal. Both of us are on a path to completion. I can help her, she can help me, but it's all through Christ that does it. Let's go to Philippians. Last week, Jonathan said that after years of marriage, we tend to look alike. I can honestly tell you that that's not our case. My wife is lovely, and I am not. But we act alike. And we are very much like the same person. But I'm glad that she doesn't look like me, or I don't look like her. But if you talk to us, we're almost the same person. Philippians 1:6, it says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So God is working on you, and he's working on your spouse, and he's working on your children, and he's working on you if you're single, and he's working on you if you're wherever you're at in your life, he is working on you. If you know Christ, he is working on you and trying to bring you to completion. Well, what that means is that I'm not complete yet. In Ephesians, he also says that he's working on us to reach perfection. Well, I'm not there yet either. But that means that I'm a work in progress. And if I'm a work in progress, then I'm going to change. And if I'm a work in progress, I'm going to reach one day to be more Christ-like. And each day I live, I should be more Christ-like than the day before. Each day I live, I should be a better husband than the day I was before. And that's what we should be focusing on. I want to finish with a story. I know time has run out. Last night, one of the members of our church says that he was a man of few words. And I said, well, I'm a man of few words too, but I can talk for hours. I'm just limited on vocabulary. Those are the few words that I have. But when we were first dating, one of our first dates was actually to go to a movie. And y'all will recognize the movie. It was 1995, so there weren't great movies. But we went to this movie, and it was Dumb and Dumber. It was like our second date or something like that. It was a terrible movie for our second date. But it was the only thing at the theater that seemed worthy. And so we went to go see it. And while we were there, there was a scene in the movie that had me laughing so hard where my stomach was hurting. And for those of y'all who know it, there's a turbo laxative scene in this movie that just ends this. It has a 2 to 3 minute gag. And I was laughing so hard, and I couldn't stop laughing, and it was loud. It wasn't hee-hee, it was, belly laughing. And at some point during the movie, I remember seeing people turning around and looking at the weirdo who was laughing. And certainly she saw them too. And it just didn't stop when the scene ended. Several scenes later, I would imagine it again or picture it again, and I would start all over again, laughing and laughing. And it wasn't just one scene later or two scenes later. It was 30 to 40 minutes later. I could not stop. I could not get that out of my mind. So it's a good thing that I'm not that man who laughs for 40 minutes about a laxative gag anymore. It's a good thing that I'm still not that man anymore. It's a good thing, right? Years later, she actually told me, I feel like I've already told the story, but it was because I did in the last service. But years later, after we were married, she told me that she already had her phone out, and she was ready. She was ready to make a call to her brother to come pick her up, because she was pretty much done with this date. She was so embarrassed by this weirdo who just couldn't stop laughing, she was ready to be picked up. And so I always tell her, I always remind her, well, you know what? Had you left, you would have missed out on all of this. And I tell you that when I'm at my house. So I tell her, you would have missed out on all of this. It's not that great, right, in the end. But I think about that, and I think about my relationship with God. And if I had walked out on him early on in our relationship, if I had pushed him aside and set God aside when I first knew him, I would have missed out on his kingdom, on all of this. Who knows who the man I would be today without God? Who knows who I would be? And I'm so thankful to God that he kept me strength, that he gave me strength, and that his joy gave me strength to continue to serve him. And that all these years later, I love to serve him. It is my life to give to God. And through my life, I can glorify him. And through my service, I can glorify him. And I just thank God that he brought me here today in all of these last years to continue to serve him and to continue to be in his kingdom so I wouldn't miss out on all that is his. Right? And so when you think about your marriage, remember, it was God who ordained it. It was God who provided it. And it was a gift from God. But more importantly, when you think about your relationship with God, remember that he is the one who saved you. He is the one who brought you out of darkness. He is the one who looked at you on your worst day and loved you. On your worst day that nobody would ever care about you, he did. And he loves you today. So focus on that. And restore that relationship you had with him. Renew that relationship you had with him. Get into his word. Open up that dusty Bible. Get on your knees. Go into that closet and talk to him. He's the one who loves you. He's the one who wants to hear from you. So let's pray about that. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you loved us. Thank you that you gave us your word, but thank you that you gave us your son. Thank you that you sent your son to love us, to take us out of darkness, to take us out of that prison we were in. Thank you, Lord. Help us to renew in our minds our love for you. Help us to renew in our souls this spirit of servitude, this thing that was driving us years ago to serve you and do for you. Help us to restore that and to renew it. Help us each day, Lord, to remember who you are and who you are to us. Help us to focus on the good in our spouses, in our families, in our children, in our parents, and our brothers and sisters. Help us to focus on those things that are good and honorable and excellent and lovely and true. Help us each day, Lord, to renew those relationships. Help us to put aside that selfish person that we are so that we can think about others. Help us. We know that only through your love can we love each other. Help us to love you more. Help us to remember that love that we had for you on day one. Help us to remember that that was what you put inside of us. Help us to continue to grow it. We know that the work that you're doing in us is to reach Christ. Help us to get there. Our path to being more Christ-like is a long journey. It's filled with lefts and rights, and we don't always make the right decision. But help us to get back on that path. Help us to reach you. Help us to be there for our spouses, to help them in their path to being Christ-like. Help us to remember the love that you have for us, and each day restore us. Just ask all of this in the wonderful and the glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.